Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
I am Murray Ward. You're listening to Faceted Gems. Our theme song is played by Brian Snow. This is Faceted Gems. Give thanks for our blessing. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. My guest this evening is Sandra Thompson. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Diane.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on Faceted Gems. My good friend Sandra is a multi-talented person. She is not only a graduate of Cornell School of Industrial and Labor Relations, NYU, Penn State, and a Brooklyn Tech High School graduate, but she is someone who has shared her gifts and her talents in many civic and community organizations. She is a budget director. She is a training and curriculum development specialist. She has worked in human resource management. I don't know how she finds time to co-found anything, but she has. This is a multifaceted, wonderful, beautiful person, and I'm so glad that you have agreed to come on Faceted Gems. What did I leave out, Sandra?
Well, just one correction, Diane. I'm a deputy budget director.
Deputy budget director,
yes.
But we know she really runs things. Anyway, a mere technicality. But I say that to say this program really is about people using their talents, their skills, and you have done so many different things and held so many different jobs, and you're so active and involved. How did you realize that you could do all that? At what point in your life did you realize you could do so many things so well? At what point?
I really don't know. It just started happening. A lot of it I owe to my parents because they always told me whatever you put your mind to doing, you can do. And I watched them get involved in civics, watched them be community leaders, block association presidents, different things, constantly being involved with PTAs in the school system. And when one would run with me in elementary school or high school, the other one would make it up the road to college to make sure that I understood regardless of the fact I was growing into an adult, that I was still their child, they were still paying my way, and that they were going to make sure their money was used for the betterment of me.
Mm-hmm. But it seemed, you're a very giving person. You're a very giving person, a very articulate person. And I remember when I first met you, I mean, you just draw people in. I guess that's something you can't teach someone else to be able to do. You're just a gregarious, open person. You're very warm to everyone you meet. I know that some people thought you and I had known each other for years when we had just met maybe 3-4 months previously.
Yeah.
And you have that special gift of making people feel very very welcome and very comfortable, and not many people can do that. And I guess that's probably also why, because I've seen you teach, that you're able to draw a classroom well. And I find that that's probably a transferable skill in your community work.
It is. And you're right about the warmth and everything. It's just something that I've always been taught. You never know who you might meet in your travels, be it for better or for worse, but you treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And if from there friendships are built or relationships are groomed and grown, then that's great. If by chance what I do can help somebody learn something or pass it on to someone else in some kind of positive manner, then that's part of what I love doing. And all of these can be transferable skills. It's a matter of just learning how to live correctly. And I know that I am not perfect. I'm not saying that, but when I say live correctly, I mean literally reach out to others. No one got to where they are now without someone helping them. And a lot of times what I dislike about us as an older generation, be us the 20s, 30s, 40s, and sometimes 50s or 60s, we feel we've got it, we got here, we are not going to reach back and pull others up. And we've got to get away from the selfishness. And I've always been brought up like that from my mom and my dad. They used to be what they would call, my mother was a foster mother. She had 8 foster kids, was foster mother of the year.
Yeah.
Every kid on the block knew my parents. It was just one of those things where it was always, just this house was always filled with love. So I guess a lot of that comes into play from how I was brought up. I never thought of just being one person. I'm biologically an only child, but I have so many brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews that you would really think that they were all my kids or all my family. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Transferable skills, just be nice to people. Now, I'm not saying let that be you're being nice to people and people take that for weakness, because at times people have done that. But I will tell everyone has 2 sides to them. That's that good side that you put forth, and then there's that other side. When you make me show that other side, it's not too pretty.
Right.
But for the most part, I have to come to the realization that there are a few people in my life that I will go to bat for day in and day out. Other people, I will be courteous. But as my mother used to say, sometimes you feed people with a long-handled spoon. You say hello, goodbye, you keep moving. Others, you build relationships like you and me. Beautiful relationship. I'm so happy that we met each other, or actually were reintroduced to each other.
Right.
Because you are also very warm, and I also know that you, like me, piss me off, it's a wrap.
But you know what it is? That's so true. But you know what it is? We come from a, and I think it's so important, you said, we come from a base where it almost makes us, it does make us fearless, because that's why we're able to experiment and try other things. I know that, you know, you've done fundraising, you've chaired different things, you've been an editor, you've done a variety of different things, and through all of those things, you have gained, I'm sure, not just knowledge, but strength. At each thing that you've done, each role, each project, each program that you've worked on, you've always learned something, and I think that's part of it. You don't go in there thinking that you know everything. because some people do, and they lose the message or the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not always as humble,
mm-hmm.
perhaps, as that will allow them to get that message. And in doing all these different things that you've been able to accomplish, it's not always that you have to be the number one, the number one or the lead person. There's a lot to be said for being just humble and watching and learning, and I'm an advocate of mentoring.
Absolutely.
And, you've had a lot of roles where, even as an educational consultant, part of consulting is being able to listen.
And that's it. A lot of people listen with their ears, but they don't listen with their entire spirit. And that's something I learned being a student educator and a student director when I was in college and grad school. You have to be able to actively listen to what people are saying. Sometimes what they're saying on the surface is not exactly what they're saying. So you have to be able to decipher that. And it's not easy. And truthfully, Diane, I'm just coming into my own because I had to grow. Just like everyone else, I had to mature. I had to grow up. I knew there were certain things I could do, and I was good at doing them because I was blessed, and I'm blessed. But when it comes to doing things better and being the best at what's done, I had to come to the realization my ideas may be good for certain things, but if I'm working with a team, I had to realize that the team may also have other ways of doing things. And with us together, that's what makes us the best at what we do. Like the magazine that my god sister and I had, Origin Magazine, which was only supposed to be situated in the Delaware Valley of the area of Pennsylvania, near like southeast Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, parts of Delaware, and so on. We ended up in having national coverage, and some people literally compared Origin to O Magazine, and that was an honor. Not to say that we had the money like Oprah, we had the mm-hmm. clientele like Oprah, but we had a following, and that says something, because my sister took care of the business end, I took care of the creative end, working with people and different personalities. Sometimes she had to talk to some people on my team, I had to talk to people on her team, but we knew each other's strengths. She's very assertive, very headstrong. I, on the other hand, am more laid back, more not conciliatory, but more understanding. But the two of them blended together, our mixes made a wonderful combination. And it's something we would love to do again, but of course everything takes financing.
Right.
And
I have no doubt that somehow you'll find it.
Yeah, I believe we will.
Somehow you'll find it.
And the crazy part is it didn't matter how long I worked during the day. Whenever it came time to producing that product, it was tiring. But it was such a reprieve from the daily drudgery of working. And don't get me wrong, I thank God every day that I have a place to go to work.
Right.
But as much as that magazine took a lot, it was just so exhilarating and exciting that it wasn't work to us. It was more like our hobby, our reprieve. And we just gained strength from just doing what we had to do. And some of the writers, be they relatives or professors, the fitness, nutritional, dietary experts, it was just awesome. And it was incredible to see such talent coming out of the various areas, from Pennsylvania to New York to Maryland to D.C., Georgia. Oh, my God. It was just really good, Diane.
And that's why you'll probably repeat it again, and you've learned from that, and you have a springboard, and you have people that remember that you can network with and build on and everything else. And that's why it's so important to take that initial risk. You know, some people are encouraged mm-hmm. to try different things and new things, and others are not. I mean, I've had a variety of different people on the show some of them have echoed, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there were the naysayers. Everybody has naysayers.
Absolutely.
People that were, why you want to do that? You've got something safe, it's secure, it's this, that, and the other. But there's something inside that just tells you, you know what, why can't I try this? What can happen?
Absolutely.
You try it. You want to be able to say you tried it rather than saying, wow, I wish I would have, could have, should have, and then you didn't do it. And
yes,
you'll still be okay. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to feel empowered. And there's always people that are going to knock you, no matter what you try.
Exactly. And that's, and I honestly believe that, Diane. The crazy part is people don't understand the majority of the successful businesses in life have started out with a failure, and then they went on to something else or curtailed it or fine-tuned this business, and now they're making oodles of boodles of buku money, as they would
right.
say,
right.
or they're
right.
changing the lives of people in everyday society. And it's like I think about a Bill Gates. I think about
mm-hmm.
different people
mm-hmm.
who started
mm-hmm.
out doing one thing or it didn't work out the first time. They failed. But they didn't fail
right.
to try. They actually tried.
Right.
And now they're like, okay, I'm learning. I've fallen down. I've gotten my bumps. I'm dusting myself off. Now how can I do what I really need to do to make this a success? And you know as well as I do, haters
mm-hmm.
are going to hate. And anyone who has any inkling of faith, and be it God, a higher being, the Holy Spirit, whatever your references may be to any kind of higher element that sustains you through the day, you got to have faith. You have to understand and have faith that it's going to work. And if it doesn't work, then that just means that there's something better out there for you to try later on down the line. But if you don't try, as you said, then what's the use? You're not living your life, you're just existing. Life is
right.
to be lived, not just exist.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, it's so true, like you said, you know, we're all still evolving. All the people that have, you know, so-called made it,
mm-hmm.
they're not finished. They're,
no.
They don't sit back and sit down on their laurels and say, okay, let me just observe all this and see, oh, isn't this great, isn't this grand?
Right.
They are still taking it to the next level, to the nth degree. They want to see how far they can push the envelope. And when they have a project or an area of something that doesn't work, hey, they just amend the idea,
yes.
get together another business plan, recruit people who are more expert than they are, because their egos in that respect don't get in the way.
Exactly.
See, one of the things that sometimes trip people up are ego,
mm-hmm.
is the ego. And like I had one guest say, you know, she had to go and research, how do you get this? Or who are the experts in X,
right.
Y, and Z? And it was exciting to her that
right.
she found out that there were people that were experts in different things, and
mm-hmm.
and she learned a great deal from it. And so that's where we have to sometimes be a little more open, a little more humble, and say, you know, I can't really do all of this by myself, but let me find out from this person. How do you do that? I didn't even know people did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really part of the key to it as well. But you're so right when you say having faith in yourself. There's
yeah.
that voice, that something inside that says, try this.
Exactly.
Believe me, it won't kill you. Just try it. And you might get a little bruised. As we all have, you and I
mm-hmm.
both know we both tried projects and things that haven't worked. And when they do work, like you said, it's very exhilarating. And when they don't, when they fail, sometimes they fail big. But at the same time, there's so much to be had for having had that experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
you lick your wounds and you say, all right, I won't do that again. I learned from that mistake, but
exactly.
I'm going to try it, massage it another way. And you know, one of the reasons I have the show is to try to encourage other people to say, you know what, you know, you can survive it. You know, go in there with a mindset. You know, you don't run in blind into anything, but, you know, think it through. And if it's something that really will make you feel happy, like the way you talked about the magazine just now, I mean,
yeah.
I could hear the excitement and the pleasure in your voice. You miss it.
I do. I really, really do. The good thing I do have that still lets me be creative and write is being the missionary, they call it mission education for the missionaries in my church's denomination, my specific church. And I get to develop things. I get to say, okay, this is the training we're going to have this week, or this is the educational process that we're going to go through this time. And this is how we're going to reach out and help people in the community, in the different churches, whatever it may be, literally. And it keeps me going because it keeps my mind moving. And I also know that the one other thing I had spoken to the missionary president, who was also my mentor coming up in the church, as well as another lady who introduced me to the skills of elocution and oratory performances when I was six or seven, where we actually won 2 years in a row the first place. I told him I wanted to develop a scholarship mentoring program in memory of my parents, because they always put education and community first. And there are a lot of young people who want to be able to have somebody actually reach down and talk to them, not at them, and they want to express their opinions and their ideas. But a lot of times people look at them, well, you don't have the experience. You're too young. You can't do this. You can't do that. How am I ever going to learn if you don't let me try?
Absolutely.
That's something that I want to do, because, yes, there were times that people said, well, you can't do this or you shouldn't do that. But most of the time it was always, okay, why can't you do it? What is it that you're trying to do? Let's work on it. They said we couldn't do the debutante ball, where we could introduce the kids in our church, different groups from ages 7 on up to 21. We couldn't introduce them to classical dances, to the salsa, the merengue, the waltz. We couldn't introduce them to proper etiquette. We couldn't introduce them to sitting properly, having them dressed up like they were the kings and queens that they are, but we did it. It was a beautiful time, and it's an experience that they never forgot.
Absolutely. And it's all about exposure. It's about exposure, and that's why you have to bring it to the table, and that's why you have to let people. If you don't expose people to things, then they may not necessarily actively look for it, because they don't know what they're looking for. And that's one of the reasons why you're listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Diane Murray Ward, and I have the wonderful, wonderful Sandy Thompson with me tonight, talking about all the different ways, as small as that might seem to some people, you know, learning the merengue, learning how to waltz, learning how to, you know, proper etiquette, eating at the table. I remember, you know, as kids, some of the schools were doing that. I know that. And people thought, oh, why are you bothering with that? It's very important. It's important for kids to know. It's important for kids to know how to dress properly for a job interview. There were some adults that don't know how to dress properly for a job interview. But I think that if you don't expose a person, take them by the hand and say, look, this is the way we do this, that's one less impediment, one less reason for someone to say they can't be hired, they can't do this, they can't do that, whatever it might be. And I think that's where the mentorship and the role modeling and all of that comes into play. And I know for myself, sometimes when I had been looking for a mentor, I hadn't necessarily been looking for one, but someone might just conduct themselves in a certain way that I really appreciated and I found helpful. And they may not have even known that I was using them as a mentor. Do you find that to be the case as well?
I do. And a lot of times I also find that the mentor is not necessarily somebody who's older than you. People forget that you can learn from people who are younger than you as well.
Absolutely.
And once people get over that stigma of, oh, this person, in order to be good, they have to be older than me, it's the only way I can emulate them. No. Understand that mentors come in all shapes, sizes, colors, age groups. Am I saying if you're 40 or 50, am I saying you look to a 20-something-year-old that's out there on the street doing stuff? No, I'm not saying that. But there may be a 30-something-year-old, even somebody in our own age groups, that are doing things that we had not thought of or we were never exposed to doing, and we can learn.
Absolutely.
Learning is lifelong, as you said earlier in the program. Learning is absolutely lifelong. And when we stop learning, that means it's time for us, we're dying. We're dead. And I can't be any more blunt than that. You stop learning, you're dead, you're dying. So.
And you know, people, there's a saying, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. When you want to be encouraged by people, think of people that are like-minded. If you surround yourself with people that are very negative, you're going to take on a negative tone. Mm-hmm. And it's not that every day has to be happy and roses and everything else, but especially when it comes to career exploration or looking for other things that you or areas that you can do well, sometimes, like you said, sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's just something that you happen to naturally be good at that can develop into something more. Not necessarily always. And I'm not saying you can make a career of it, but sometimes you can. And I think taking that leap of faith, that leap in faith in oneself, is very, very important. It's frightening for some people.
Yeah.
It's probably frightening for all of us at some point. But once you do it, there's a level of satisfaction that, as you mentioned, it's quite overwhelming. It's quite wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm at the point now where I have two stepdaughters. Both of them are older, but the one that I deal with on a regular is a teenager. So, you know, a teenage girl, that's whew.
Right.
Need I say any more?
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
the whole thing
but
is,
that gets you. And
yes.
There's a lot I'm sure she's teaching you.
Yeah, and I get so nervous, not because I'm trying to walk the perfect path. That's not what it is. I just get nervous because I don't want her to think that I'm trying to be so correct that she can't have fun. But I love the fact that the young lady who's like a niece to me and my cousin, the three of them get together and it's as if they've known each other for years. They want to be around each other, and I like the fact that they are positive young ladies. My stepdaughter was having issues at one point. But I sat down, we chatted, and I knew she was smart. She just said to me what she had to do, and it was something that she had to do, and she did it, and she's doing it. As I said, teenagers, we've been there. We've been teenage girls, so we understand. Our parents probably wanted to choke us at times, but it wasn't that we were bad kids. We just wanted to fit in because a lot of times we were the smart kids, and people always looked at us as being nerds and so on and so forth. But once we got a hold and listened to our parents' voices and had them be the loudest in our heads about the fact, it doesn't matter if they call you nerd. It doesn't matter if they call you this, any other. It matters if they call your name on graduation day and you're getting your diploma and you moving on.
Well, as one nerd to another, you see our half hour is gone.
Get out.
My nerd sister.
Girl.
Thank you so very, very much, Sandy. I really have appreciated talking with you, having you on Faceted Gems. I know that there's a lot, there's food for thought for a lot of people. You're listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Diane Ward. We've had our wonderful, wonderful chat with Miss Sandy Thompson. Food for thought, Sandy. Food for thought at all ages. We're both still evolving. And I'm so happy that I'm evolving with you.
Me too.
As we close out, you'll be listening to Brian Snow. Love everyone, empower, assist when you can, dream and believe in the positive energy within. I leave you with Brian Snow. Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome, Jay. Bye.